Bumbabees, and welcome back to the Bumbacast. It's me, your girl, Teresa. I'm back again. Sorry that I took that last week off from the pop cultured news. We are back and better than ever this week. We're doing better. Mental health is on the mend. We're getting there. Not much to report on my end other than my roommates are trying to burn the house down because they're leaving the oven on 600 degrees from 1:30 in the morning until 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'm just putting this on the record that they are always doing something that creates a fire hazard in case my house burns down and I need to sue. I need you guys to back me up, okay? So, how's everyone's week been? How's everyone's past couple of weeks been? It's been crazy out there. I don't know if it's definitely not just me, but I don't know what's going on. There's definitely something going on in the universe. There's something in the air. I don't know what's happening, but I'll tell you what. It isn't just me. Everyone is just going through it. You know, my coworker told me last week, you know, on like, I think it was Thursday or Friday, you know, I'm already weak in the knees with my emotions, very sensitive to everything. And, you know, she felt comfortable enough in confiding this in me, but it just made me break down. I was like, I held it together for her when she was telling me, but she, you know, tells me that she lost her cat, unfortunately. Not like lost, but the cat passed away. And, you know, she got very teary-eyed, and I was just like, oh, God. I'm like, oh, this poor woman. I just felt for her, and I just, like, started breaking down. I was like, you know, like those pre-cry breaths. I'm like, please walk away because I'm about to lose it. My heart goes out to her, and I hope she's having a better week. I didn't want to ask her how she's been doing today because it's still so fresh. I didn't want to make her get upset if she wasn't already upset. But I'll wait until the end of the week and be like, how you doing, you know. But just so sad, so sad. So everybody's going through it. You know, there's that, you know, death. There's fucking the Titan submersible. You know, if you haven't listened to my episode about it yet, you fucking better go do it because I give you all the deets if you need to know. If you don't know what you need to know, I did hear that they are apparently going to be looking into, I don't know, whatever those sounds were, whatever they're claiming the banging sounds were or not the banging sounds or whatever. So apparently they're looking into that. I'm going to tell you right now, there's probably a 99.99% chance we're never going to know what those sounds are. And they'll probably, that's what I say this, and then they'll tell us something, but it's not going to be the truth. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, so we're going to be going over a lot of things. It's a lot of heavy shit, you know. There's nothing on here that's like not big news. But there's only one good news story on here. I try to hold off until the end. It's the next to last story we're going to be talking about. It's the only good news that I've been seeing going on in Hollywood and just in the world in general. You know, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? So let's get on the roller coaster ride of the next 45 to 50 minutes, maybe an hour. Who knows? I mean, I might get passionate. We'll see. So let's go, guys. The first thing I'm going to be talking about today is, this is kind of like week or so old news at this point, but I did want to at least go over it because, you know, since last week I took the week off, it was something that I felt needed to be talked about, so let's get into it. I don't know if anyone heard about this, but the EDM festival Beyond Wonderland, the second day of the festival had been canceled because a shooting left 2 dead and 3 others injured. Billboard.com, which I actually saw, I found out about this and read about this as it was happening and unfolding on Twitter because I do follow a lot of people in the EDM scene on Twitter. That I either interact with or just, you know, we follow each other or whatever. So I was seeing a lot of posts about people that were either in attendance or they knew somebody there or they, you know, were experiencing it firsthand or whatever was going on. So that's when I found out about this happening. It occurred on the 17th of this month, so June 17th. So if you're not really familiar with what Beyond Wonderland is, Beyond Wonderland is an electronic dance music festival. So it takes place in George, Washington. That's crazy. It takes place in George, comma, Washington. You know, you're not cute for that, USA. Like, no. Not George, comma, Washington, Washington, comma, George with his slave teeth that elementary school tried to tell us were wooden teeth. Get the hell out of here. I'm just like, I was stunned. I was like, that's where this fucking festival takes place? Oh, my God. Okay, so Billboard.com goes on to say two people are dead and three others have been injured after a shooting on Saturday, the 17th of June, at the EDM festival Beyond Wonderland. The festival is hosted by Insomniac Events, which host a lot of these EDM festivals that go on around the country. If you're wondering where the event takes place, it happens at the Gorge Amphitheater, which is in George, Washington. So try saying this five times fast. Yeah, we went to Beyond Wonderland at the Gorge Amphitheater in George, Washington. I guess it's not that bad. It's, I guess, roughly about 150 miles east of Seattle, if you're looking at, you know, terms of where the hell that is even located for the state of Washington. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said that around 8:30 local time in the camping area of the festival, gunmen started firing randomly into the crowd of campers. Two people were killed and three others were injured before the gunman was apprehended by authorities. I don't know. I didn't see anything like updated with this news story, so I don't really know what's going on with that. I did try to look for more information today, but I was just not finding anything that had been updated within the last five, six days. It was basically all saying the same thing. The name of the gunman and the victims have not been released. As far as I know, I didn't find anything today. I'm sure people do know who the victims are. Very sad. You know, it's just like, God, like, because I was looking at videos of what it looks like from the people that I follow on EDM Twitter, what the camping area of the festival looks like. And it's basically just like this big open area of land, like, you know, that just could be farm, you know, it's just open, just like grass and field. It's like there's nothing around. So I don't even know how this man was able to get over the fence to the camping area. That's what's crazy to me, because I know how Coachella is, and you cannot just fucking sneak into the campgrounds, like outside, you know, wherever. You can't sneak into the festival. Like, you know, there's serious security measures put in place. And regardless of whether that's probably because they have people inside attending the festival that are worth billions of dollars, so they take it a little step further. But Coachella makes so much money that they don't have a problem dishing out something that's going to help their guests enjoy themselves and to avoid some kind of catastrophic event like this taking place. Craziest headline I've ever seen come out of Coachella are like stupid things like you would expect. Like, I guess like there was a huge spike in like herpes diagnoses like 1 year at Coachella or something like that. And I'm like, who's even hooking up at Coachella? Like, you know, who's got the time? I'm not hooking up in no fucking tent. What is this? Like right next, like within a foot and a half of someone else through a sheer tent. You guys are wild for that shit. So yeah, that's not surprising to me. And then there was also another headline. I think it was like from 2018. I think it was 2018. Maybe it was 2019, but it was one of those years. Weekend two, some man had been apprehended by police and charged with like grand theft for stealing $250,000 worth of iPhones. So this man's was just going around stealing people's iPhones like out of their back pocket, or people would drop phones and he'd just take it or whatever. And like, obviously most of these people were tracking their Find My Shit back to this guy. So then they tracked it all back to this guy, and, like, you know, cops inside of Coachella arrested him and fucking charged his ass with grand theft. Yeah, they ain't playing around with that shit. Those shits are expensive. So anyway, on to the rest of this article, because, you know, now that we've gone off on a tangent of Coachella here, NBC had reported that the Grant County Sheriff's Office had said, we don't know what the motives were or what the intentions were of the shooter, and we'll have to wait and see if we can find that information out later on. Like I said, I haven't found anything updated, so I don't know what's going on with this investigation. Insomniac Events, who hosts Beyond Wonderland, does release a statement, you know, saying, and, you know, updates to their concert goers that day two of the second day, it was meant to begin on Sunday afternoon. So that's weird. The second day begins Sunday afternoon. So does it go into the week or is it only 2 days? Oh, it's a 2 day festival. Okay. I didn't know. This was the second day, so the last day, it was meant to begin Sunday afternoon. It got canceled. Beyond Wonderland posted the social media account saying, we would like to express our sincere appreciation to the local authorities and staff who quickly acted to manage the situation. Our heartfelt thoughts and condolences go out to the family, friends, and all those affected by the tragic event. I mean, this is fucked up and just sad. I mean, but I did also read, you know, a lot of people that were in attendance of this festival when this was happening. I was reading, like the majority were very positive comments about the staff at the festival, what they were offering them. You know, a lot of these people, you know, they were offering them the opportunity to stay at the campsite. Like, they were welcome to stay there if they wanted to, or if they wanted to leave, they would help them, you know, get accommodations, because that entire area of that campsite where the shooting took place and where the two Beyond Wonderland attendees died was closed off, obviously, for the investigation. So those people had to be completely removed, you know, and displaced from their campsite. So they, you know, Beyond Wonderland, Insomniac Events offered them places to stay, accommodations, you know, anything that they could provide to make sure that this situation wasn't made worse for them than it already was. So I was seeing a lot of positive feedback from people that actually went, saying that, you know, they were taking care of them and, you know, making sure that they were all, you know, good to go, you know. So, I mean, yeah, that's what you got to do after something like that. I mean, you allowed this man to just hop a fucking fence that don't even look that high or, you know, that dangerous or whatever to get through. There's no, like, active security around the perimeter, obviously, of the campground. So, you know, you got to do something with that. You can't just be like, oh, yeah, there they go. And, you know, just leave them to do whatever they're doing, hope nobody climbs the fence. Like, not in this fucking day and age. So I hope they do better. I hope they up their security. You know, my heart goes out to the families and friends of those that, you know, they lost at that festival. And I hope a speedy recovery for the three injured that survived. Bebe Rexha got nailed the fuck in the face by a phone mid-concert performing. You've probably seen the video circulating around on the internet. She was on stage performing at her concert on June 18th when some asshole, Nicholas Malvagna is his name, fucking Gesundheit. Yeah, exactly, Snoop, bless you. 27 years old. So, obviously, he's not a fully matured man. Apparently, they don't mature until they're 43. He allegedly hurled his cell phone at her. I don't even know. This shit is wild to me with the law, like, how it works. It's like, oh, yeah, you're innocent until proven guilty. It's like, there's a literal fucking video of this man pelting the phone at her head. He admitted to it. He said he didn't mean to hit her in the face. He meant to do something else, but he pled not guilty. I don't understand. So let's read this. So I looked on today.com because the Today Show's website had a better article than the rest. So she did have to get like several stitches above her eye after the phone was thrown at her. She posted a photo a few days later letting everybody know she's fine. She posted a picture of her black and blue eye. So I guess, like if you see the video, he throws it at her head, but like there's not, I guess the reason they can just say allegedly or, the way the law is or whatever, there's no video of him throwing it, right? But there's photo or like a screen grab that someone posted online after the show saying, this is the asshole that threw the phone at Bebe Rexha and I got it on video and that's how they like found the guy or whatever. So he was like looking all like oopsie and was like smiling and like everyone had formed this ring like around him, like 2 feet away from him, just like looking at him like, are you fucking serious? So I'm assuming her show was stopped after that, obviously. So not only did he fucking assault her, he ruined a show for everybody. So when they found out that it was him, a criminal complaint was filed against him, and he was arraigned in New York City on June 19th. He pled not guilty and was released on his own recognizance. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. A temporary protection order requires him to stay away from Rexha until his court date, his next court date on July 31st at the earliest. Ew, Snoop, Jesus, you're all right? Yeah, it makes me want to gag, too. But it's like, how are you going to plead not guilty? I was reading that he said that he thought it would be funny to throw it at her or throw it on stage with her or something like that. And now I'm reading that he is claiming, through his attorney, as a fan, Mr. Malvagna's sole intention was to have Miss Rexha take photos with his phone and return it as a keepsake. It was never his intention to injure Miss Rexha. Well, which one is it? Because I'm pretty sure he said that he threw it because he thought it would be funny. Then he lawyered up. Now the lawyer's saying, no, you got to do this. Because it is a trend. It's a trend for people to take their phones and throw them on stage. There are some artists that will pick up the phone and like take a video or take a photo or something like that and toss it back into the crowd or some shit. Yeah, some artists do that. But I'm going to go ahead and say overall, you cannot do that. Like, you should not be throwing any objects, let alone a heavy object that can hurt somebody, up on a stage as they're performing and they're not looking at each individual person to see what the fuck they're doing. What's going to end up happening is they're going to stop allowing phones into concerts. And I'm almost like, I would almost prefer that because then it's like, then they just need to sell the photos that their photographer took of the show or whatever, and, bump out the show on a DVD or something for people to purchase or whatever at the end of the night, or have mailed to them or some shit, or have something that they could virtually download or something like that from a website using a link. Like, that would probably be the way to go, and we're not going to be allowed to fucking take our phones into shows anymore. And maybe it should be that way because, the world is just getting so stupid. I'll tell you right now, Zach Hall that used to work for Panic at the Disco that is no longer working for Panic at the Disco that was, outed as a fucking creeper of the underage fans. He may be fucked up, but, I'll tell you right now, he had a zero tolerance policy when it came to shit like that. Like, there was a lot of times where people would throw stuff up on stage for Brendan to either have, or they would throw phones up on the stage. And I remember there were a couple things that like were thrown up on the stage, that Brendan kept, and I think the pride flag he was given, so he uses that at every show, or used to. He doesn't tour anymore or fucking do his band anymore. But so that flag was fine. I think he was given like a Pepe like t-shirt or something like that, or a tank top or something like that once. He really liked it and he put it on or like kept it or whatever. So like that was like okay. And it wasn't like they were balling up the t-shirt and like chucking it at him either. You know what I mean? So, but he had a zero tolerance policy for phones getting thrown on stage. And like Brendan never addressed it, but Zach was very open about it on Twitter. And I remember, you know, when I still used to communicate with him and like, you know, whatever, when he was still around, you know, he would post on his Twitter videos of himself with people's phones that he collected off the stage, throwing it in a garbage in the backstage. And he told people about this. He was very open. He's like, if you throw your phone on stage, it's going in the trash. And people still tried it. And so, I mean, like, you were warned. You were told what would happen. So now your phone is going in the trash. Like, I mean, I'm right there with it. Because, you know, a lot of weird shit had been tried to be done to Panic at the Disco over the years, too. Like, years ago, when they were still, like, in their, you know, fever you can't sweat out days. I remember, you know, Brendan told a story about how when him, Spencer, Ryan, and John were all on tour, some fan made them cookies, and he ate, like, an insane amount of cookies out of this batch. Like, something ridiculous, like 10 or more or 7 plus cookies or something. And he kept pulling pieces of hair out of the cookies he was eating. And I don't know, his fucked up weird mind was like, oh, I don't know why I have all this fucking hair in my mouth as I'm eating this cookies. I'm like, this was not Brendan's brightest moment, okay? Like, I'm almost embarrassed to have to even tell this story about him. But you know, he's eating these cookies, he's pulling hair out of his mouth, he's not even thinking to himself, there's hair in the cookies, stop eating these, okay? So he makes it through, like, an insane amount of cookies to fucking stomach through pulling hair out of, okay? After one bite, you're pulling hair, like, you, done, I'm not eating these, I'm throwing them in the trash, if I'm, like, no fucking way, bro, no way, what is wrong with him? So he eats an absorbent amount of cookies, and then he's like, you know, this is weird. There's all this hair in it. And, you know, somebody else, like, ate one or something, and they thought, and they had hair in theirs. Turns out some fan, you know, was talking about it on Tumblr or some shit or whatever. It gets found out that, yes, some fan that baked them the cookies put her hair in the fucking cookie dough and baked the cookies, and gave them to Panic at the Disco. And Brendan's stupid ass ate like fucking 10 of them, or more.
I hate to say it, I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street, I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man.
Jesus. I mean, like, you can't make this shit up. Like, I was like, how fucking stoned were you, man? Like, you were just like, oh, this is so crazy. Like, my hair is just so long. Like, it's just falling into my mouth, like, as I'm fucking eating these cookies. Like, what was going through your head, Brendan Urie? I want to know. I love you to death. But what's going on there? Okay. So, this BB Rexha thing, you know, apparently it's like, you know, one of many in a string of events like this, because, you know, we've seen it before. And another thing, Brendan Urie got nailed in the head with a water bottle at Reading Festival, like, you know, 2 decades ago. And, you know, fucking got knocked the hell out. Like, literally passed out on the stage. Like, nobody needs to be throwing anything at performers, okay? But yeah, I guess, like, along with BB Rexha, you know, very recently, Ava Max, a fan slapped her across the face before a security guard dragged him off stage. Like, how did this fucking guy even get close enough to her to slap her in the face? Off the stage? Jump on the stage? Like, what the fuck? Oh my God. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Now all of you are going to start getting, like, fucking, like, VR concerts and holograms. Like, the artists aren't even going to be there anymore. Like, everybody's just taking the fun out of everything. You know, this is just sick.
You guys are sick people. What do we do?
Okay, guys, so it's going to get a little heavy here for a second because we're going to go over Kevin Costner. And I've got quite a few fucking things to add on my end about this man at the end of this, after I report this story to you, because I feel a way about this man. And maybe you already know that I feel a way about this man. Maybe you already understand why I feel a way about this man, but let's go. So, first off, Kevin Costner, this story with his now estranged wife and his children with her, there was a lot of talk about it. I saw a couple maybe semi-major news outlets reporting on this before I started looking into it today. And now, all of a sudden today, I can't find any sources that I can rely on about this information other than Yahoo Entertainment, which is like, I mean, you gotta really be desperate to be using Yahoo Entertainment as a source. Like, no offense, Yahoo, but like, it ain't even in the top 10 for me. So I'm going to go ahead and say confidently that I believe the reason for that is because Kevin Costner is so rich and powerful in Hollywood that, you know, his people, his Illuminati handlers, whatever you want to call them or whatever, are allegedly paying off these news sources to keep the story died down, so that not a lot of people are talking about it. You know, you're not seeing E! Report about it on E! News, really. I mean, maybe they did last week, but I'll tell you right now, they're not talking about it anymore. You know, I'm sure it was handled, because the only thing that I was getting, I mean, there were maybe like 10 or 15 blogger websites that I could have gone to that were quoting the same things I read on Yahoo Entertainment, but, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say TheFameTimes.com writes. No, it's not going to happen. This isn't Perez Hilton. Sorry, Perez, but it's not happening. I'm not a gossip columnist, and it's never going to be that way. So I may have my conspiracies, my theories, my what ifs, my I heard this is happening, but unless I think there's some truth to it and there are some things that I can credit and source, I'm not going with it. You already know that. So let's go on about Kevin Costner. So Kevin Costner's now estranged wife, Christine, is claiming that Kevin told their kids about the divorce during a 10-minute Zoom call without her being present. So there's a lot of fucking court documentation to go over. So stay with me here because it's pretty crazy. So according to court, we're going to start off with, you know, obviously, if you don't already know, Kevin Costner's second wife, Christine, they're getting a divorce. It's getting really messy and weird. You know, I'm going to go ahead and start off by saying this. So I'm pretty sure, like 90% confident, that I heard this on Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. She was interviewing someone or talking to someone, and this person said that they saw Kevin Costner and his now estranged wife, Christine, out at a restaurant. They did not, you know, approach Kevin Costner, but I guess the wife was like smiling at whoever was seeing them together, like, oh, it's okay, like you can say hi or something. And they were describing Kevin Costner as looking just miserable, wanted to be somewhere else, couldn't be bothered with the wife. The wife is like super young, like a lot younger than him, okay? She's like 48 or something like that. They got together when she was like, she's like 49. So I guess they got together when she was like 18, but didn't get married for like 5 or 6 years after they got together. So they've been married for like 18 years. You know, they share several children together. But anyway, so whoever, who was it? Like, I don't know who it was, but I want to say it was like, I don't know if it was Chris Frangiola. Maybe it was Chris Frangiola. I don't know. Somebody on Heather McDonald's podcast said that they saw Kevin Costner and his wife Christine out, and they looked miserable. He looked miserable. She looked happy, you know, and they felt like the marriage wasn't going to last much longer. And this was before the news even broke of this, you know, divorce that's ongoing now. Like, this was before we knew any of this was coming. This was before they announced any of this news. This is before all this court documentation. So it's been around that people thought this was coming. So, you know, but I mean, really, I mean, he's probably like just old and like, you know, ready to just fucking be done with the shit and like, you know, live out his days on a fucking ranch or some shit, or playing with his band, because apparently he has a band. According to court documents obtained by Yahoo, Christine, the estranged wife, says he's worth at least $400 million, so she's fighting the terms of their previous 2004 prenuptial agreement. Apparently, the prenup only had given her a $1 million plus payout since the split. I guess it has given her $1 million plus since the split. So that's all she's gotten since the split is that. And that's all the prenup plans on giving her. So she's trying to fight this. So she's seeking at least $248,000 a month in child support alone from Kevin Costner. He's 68. So she's 49. He's 68. And then that's just where she's starting off. She's also claiming that he disregarded her by breaking the news of the divorce to their three children without telling her and without her having any kind of presence in this 10-minute Zoom call at home. Christine, who filed for divorce initially on May 1st after 18 years of marriage, listed the separation date as April 11th, and she said in a declaration that was filed on June 16th that she was quote-unquote concerned the children would find out about the divorce before they could tell them. She had, I guess, expressed it to Kevin that it was important to her to tell the kids in person together. Christine claimed that she told Kevin this and shared articles about the importance of talking to the children as a united front, whatever. So she's going on, she's saying that, you know, he just completely disregarded what I asked him to do. I wasn't present. You know, it made no sense. He was planning on coming home 5 days later. Why couldn't he just wait until then? This was all this shit. So I guess he was in his hotel room in Las Vegas, you know, they telling the three children about the divorce over a 10-minute Zoom call, supposedly, is what she's claiming. Caden Wyatt, who's 16, is one of the kids. Hayes Logan, who's 14, and Grace Avery, who's 13. I guess, you know, she goes on to say, I'm still confused by his motivation to do this. He was going to be home 5 days later. He could have easily come home from Vegas to have the conversation in person, like I said. So she's challenging this prenup, okay? So I guess she used to be a handbag designer, this woman. She's not employed, has no personal income. This is all claims she's saying. Her assets include a bank account with less than $50,000 from before their marriage and an account Kevin set up for her when they were married per their prenup. Kevin put two payments of $100,000 into the account when they married on their and on their first wedding anniversary per the prenup. And it's grown in savings to just $450,000. So after she filed for divorce, he deposited $1 million into the account, which I guess was a part of the prenup agreement. So she can move out. And this was so that she could move out of the properties he owned into the marriage, because I guess a lot of these properties that they lived at and even their main home, he had that before they even got married. So, I mean, you know, he's basically like, get the fuck out of my house. So she says she won't touch that money because she thinks that Kevin will be able to argue that she waived her right to challenge the premarital agreement and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So her lawyer is just telling her all the right things to say and do. So obviously, like I said, she's asking for the $248,000 a month in child support, and she wants to have Kevin pay 100% of the child's or the children's private school tuition fees for their extra extracurricular activities and all health care expenses. She understands that the guideline child support based on Kevin's income in 2022 would be $152,681 per month. However, the amount needed to maintain the children's current lifestyle is $332,264 per month, which is 60% of what our family spent. This may seem like a lot, but this is based on actual figures from their 2022 income and expenses. She also wants $500,000 in legal fees by August 1st. So she's not fucking around. She's like, I'm getting mine, bitch. I got underage kids. I'm getting my money. So I guess due to their vast differences in resources, she also requests that Kevin Costner pay an additional $350,000 in attorney's fees and $150,000 in forensic costs. So that's where the $500,000 is supposed to be going by August 1st. She's saying she's not moving out of the house that Kevin wants her out of in the 30 days or whatever, until he commits on paper to paying an appropriate child support amount. So I guess the prenup states that she must move out of his premarital property within 30 days of a divorce filing, which is crazy because they have three kids together. Like this, I'm telling you, she's going to win because this prenuptial agreement was pre-children and she's got three underage kids with him now. He's done. She's going to get 50-50 fucking everything. She's going to get everything or very close to everything she wants. So he did give her the $1 million toward housing. Bullshit. They live in like $100 million fucking home. And that's how much it was when he bought it. Can you imagine how much it costs now? Because apparently they added on more houses and other shit, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So she claims she had been willing to move out, but she's not going to go until he commits to the appropriate amount of child support. She said that while Kevin did continue to pay all of our expenses since separation, including $95,000 in lawyer fees, she claims he's done a number of things to make it more difficult for me to pay for things, and there is no guarantee he will continue to pay these expenses going forward until an agreement is in place. So she's trying to protect herself because she's like, well, the second I move out, this motherfucker is going to stop paying me, which is probably true. So we're going to get into his income now. So apparently he's estimated to be worth $400 million. They're very detailed, these finances. So obviously, no surprise here, he's very fucking rich. It says, although we have not done formal discovery, we believe that Mr. Costner's net worth is in excess of $400 million and his recent reported income is in excess of $19 million per year, her attorneys state. It lists Kevin's average monthly cash flow as $1,536,808. In 2022, he made $19,517,064.32. So, like, this bitch came with every... She's like, I've got documents. So, Kevin's accountant provided his income for last year. The highlights of his income included TIG Films, which was, like, behind projects like Dances with Wolves, Wyatt Earp, The Bodyguard. He pulled in $10.2 million just for that. Their 160-acre Aspen property where the couple married brought in $2.458 million, while a guest house on the... I'm not going to read it like that again. That was ridiculous. I felt like a robot. While a guest house on the beach club compound that they rented to a tenant who denied being the other man just days ago. So we're going to get into that. So hold on to that other man shit right there. Okay, so we'll get into that. So they paid them $503,000. So he, you know, was making that off of properties. And then he also had stocks that put $5,647,000 in their bank account. And an unspecified quote unquote inheritance gave them $454,803. So I don't know what the fuck that's about. She notes in her declaration that most of our homes are owned without any debt. She also noted, I realize that our lifestyle is extraordinary. I appreciate how very blessed we are to live this way. It's important to not only provide a warm and comfortable home for our children, but to also teach them family values and gratitude. In 2022, the family expenses were $6.645 million. They own multiple luxury properties and shell out millions to maintain them. Their Aspen property alone costs $1.964 million in upkeep. They pay a rancher $91,999, $21,807, and 21, I guess they pay a rancher. Oh, okay. They pay a rancher $91,999,000 and then an additional $21,807 for spa services and then $19,546.72 for cleaning. The beach club compound that they have in Carpinteria, California costs $408,180. Of that, I hate numbers. I can't do this. I hope they end. Of that, $448,446 was paid in gardening costs, $12,780 in private security within the gated community, and $10,800 for pool maintenance. I mean, no big thing. Just fucking throwing money to maintain properties they're not even fucking at. They have a house manager, a person who assists with grocery shopping and meal preparation, a housekeeper who assists with cleaning and laundry. They're also members at several country clubs. It goes on to say, quote, in addition, our family travels several times per year. I guess this is Christine saying this, to vacations in the Caribbean and Hawaii and travel to Aspen seven times per year, usually during the winter and summer with family and friends joining them. It's noted their private plane costs are apparently paid through other entities controlled by Kevin. So they've got a private plane too. So yeah, whatever. Their family home is worth an estimated $100 million. Apparently, Kevin Costner owned their Beach Club Road compound in Carpinteria, California, prior to them marrying, but this is where it expands. So it's expanded over the years. The compound is now composed of three homes and two additional lots along the water. The main house is approximately 5,000 square feet with four bedrooms, an infinity pool overlooking the beach and ocean, a subterranean art room, and surf garage. What the fuck is a surf garage? Like, is it one of those, like, surf machine pool things or whatever? I don't even know. There's a guest house with a gym, basketball court, pergola for dining, an outdoor living room, a fire pit, and a chicken coop. No big deal. The guest house has its own chicken coop. There's another guest house that Kevin uses for film editing. Spooky. Which they recently rented it for $65,000 per month to real estate investor Daniel Starr, who denied having an affair with Christine. So this is where I said we're going to be circling back to this. So apparently also there's a real estate investor that I just mentioned, Daniel Starr, who was allegedly having an affair with Christine, but I didn't see any information about this online. I don't know how true it is. Whatever, you know, we could go on to talk about Kevin Costner apparently knocking some bitch up on the set of Yellowstone, because I heard that he allegedly did that too. So who fucking knows what goes on over there? Christine also goes on to say, given the unique situation and attributes of our compound, the combined value of our five properties is likely in excess of $100 million. She said that the second property they have in Carpinteria is approximately $50 million to $80 million. They also own a 17, I guess this is like that property. So that property is a 17-acre property half a mile down the beach, which they bought and planned to build a dream home on, but later changed their mind, deciding to renovate the beach compound instead. They thought about selling it a few years ago, but changed their minds. Costner said recently that he mortgaged the ranch for his latest film project. She says Kevin was once offered $250 million for their Aspen property. The Aspen estate, which Kevin also owned before they were married, is truly unique, Christine said. It's 10 minutes down the road from town center, but surrounded by a national forest that cannot be developed. That's kind of cool. The property has several homes and two lakes, and they rent it for $250,000 per week during the high season. She said they have a fleet of a dozen ATVs and snowmobiles for the kids to ride. So, I mean, you know, they're just rolling in it. They're just fucking rolling in it. Christine claims that she met Kevin Costner on the golf course at the Alyssal Ranch when she was 18. That was around 1992 when he was still married to his first wife, college sweetheart Cindy, with whom he shares three children as well. He was divorced in 1994 amid rumors of infidelity while making Waterworld, which resulted in a reported $80 million payout to his ex. And then he had a child with Bridget Rooney in 1996. So he's got seven kids. 6 years after they first met, Christine said that she and the Tin Cup star played our first game of golf, started dating shortly thereafter. Oh, how romantic, golf. They were together for 24 years. Jesus. So, yeah, they were together for 24 years total. They were only married for 18, but they were together for 24. That's a long time, you know. Put in a lot of time to this man. You better be going away with some money. For your kids, at least. In his own declaration, Kevin says that he established a prenup because after his divorce from Cindy, he was pushed out of their home and felt displaced. So it's important to add a clause stating that she would have to leave their home 30 days after a divorce filing. Well, it was never updated to fit your children in there, so you fucked up, Kevin Costner. She goes on to say that she raised the kids and encouraged him to live his dreams, so she's just painting herself out to be the martyr as well. I guess she's talking about how she wanted to avoid any kind of public attacks, but, you know, he started saying some shit about her. So, you know, I guess he was saying that he felt pressured to leave Yellowstone because of his wife. I don't know. So she said that it was harmful for her family when he said that. She said, I believe they are meant to pressure me to move out without a temporary child support agreement in place. There is a trial date set in Superior Court of California, County of Santa Barbara, beginning on November 27th. The very next step is a case management conference on July 5th to look at the validity and enforceability of the prenup. So I think we'll give you an update next week on that. So next Friday. So, because that's what the 4th is a Tuesday. So, the 5th is a Wednesday. So, it'll be out and ready for the podcast next Friday. Yep. So, you know, I guess, you know, he's been making the second part of some movie called Horizon in Utah. And so, he has a long planned vacation schedule with the kids in BC, British Columbia, mid-July. So, fucking weird shit going on. But I know this is going to be a long episode, I'm going to be honest with you. So hopefully we'll wrap it up around an hour and 10 because I got some fucking sound effects to put in here. But it was, you know, I had a lot to talk about. It's been a minute. But I'm going to go ahead and say, I wished bad things to start happening to Kevin Costner earlier this year when he won for Yellowstone over Bob Odenkirk for anything that he was nominated in a category against Bob Odenkirk for. Because I'll tell you right now, ain't no way was the acting that Kevin Costner was pulling out of his ass for Yellowstone any different than his old crotchety ass walking around on a daily basis right now. Bob Odenkirk was out there doing the Lord's work on Better Call Saul. So I've been hoping for something bad to happen to Kevin Costner, and I'm glad it finally fucking did. Love you, Bob Odenkirk. I don't know if you guys know who this is, but actor Julian Sands has been missing since January. CNN is reporting that human remains have been found on Saturday in Southern California near the area that investigators had been searching for the British actor, according to authorities. So the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department was quoted saying civilian hikers contacted the Fontana Sheriff's Station after they discovered human remains in the Mount Baldy Wilderness. Investigators say positive identification of the remains should be completed next week. The search for Julian Sands, who has not been seen since he went hiking in the San Gabriel Mountains northeast of Los Angeles in January, was focused on the Mount Baldy area after investigators traced pings from his cell phone to that location. Poor weather and harsh conditions meant the active search had been mostly dormant until resuming last Saturday. More than 80 people involved in search and rescue volunteers, deputies, and staff participated in the search efforts. They used two helicopters, drone crews as volunteers. They searched in remote areas across Mount Baldy. They had aerial searches and assessment efforts, all according to officials. The San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department said Monday, despite the recent warmer weather, portions of the mountain remain inaccessible due to extreme alpine conditions. Now, what is Snoop is sniffing hard on something right now. And there is also 10 plus feet of ice and snow. So we'll see what happens. It's really fucking sad. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ, that's really sad. Missing since January, and then now just starting to be able to find things over there because they couldn't access the area. It's really fucking depressing. Gloria Huerta, who is a spokesperson with the department, told CNN in January that officials were forced to suspend their search efforts due to the severe weather and an avalanche threat, so they couldn't keep looking for him. He's best known, if you don't know who Julian Sands is, if you saw a picture of him, you'd be like, I've seen that guy somewhere. He is one of those actors that you see in a million different things, and he does little speaking roles here and there and stuff like that, but he has never really gotten a major role where it's like he's discernible by a certain character or anything like that, but he has a long list of achievements and accomplishments. You know, he's been acting for a long time. But if you don't know who he is, he's best known for his TV roles as Vladimir Burko as an antagonist in the fifth season of 24. This is where I know him from. He was Jor-El in Smallville, which is obviously Clark Kent, Superman's father. On the big screen, he also played a title character in two editions of the Warlock horror movie franchise, and also credits Arachnophobia and Leaving Las Vegas. So we'll stay updated on that. I'll keep my eyes out about what's going on because, you know, really sad if it's him. I have this feeling that it might be him, which is sad. Looks like it's adding up that way. So, but we'll remain hopeful and, you know, maybe he's just off on a desert island, doesn't want to be bothered somewhere. Who knows? But yeah. You know, who knows? Maybe he threw his phone off the mountain or something, and that's what they're pinging, and he just took off. You know, you never know. So, wishful thinking. Okay, let's take a little decompression break here. So, there is some good news out there in the world. So, as you know, I'm not the biggest Kardashian fan. The only one that I am a fan of anymore is Kourtney, you know, but I still keep her at arm's length. But I am very happy to report Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker are expecting a baby boy. I'm really happy for them. They seem to be doing really well. They seem to be doing really well. They seem to be super in love and obsessed with each other and, you know, happy and healthy and not toxic. And, you know, their kids love each other and their kids love, you know, them. And, you know, it's just great all around from what I can see. The only two salty people about it in the world seems like Scott Disick is still a little salty and Shanna Mochler or whatever the fuck her name is Travis Barker's ex-wife. So to read a little about that. I thought this was cool. Kris Jenner confirmed that this is lucky number 13 of her grandchildren, which I'm going to say that that was a little bit having to do with me, because I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, that, it's not really to do with me, but I'm going to go ahead and say right now, I called this years ago, very long time ago, very long time ago, before Courtney and Travis were even a fucking blip in their own minds, you know, when I still did watch the Kardashians on E. You know, I remember watching several episodes over the years where Travis was just hanging out with Courtney in the kitchen because they lived in the same Calabasas neighborhood. Their friends were, or their kids were really good friends with each other, went to the same school. So like, Travis and Courtney were really good friends for a long time. And like, I always used to say when I would watch it, be like, I bet you Travis is just waiting for Courtney to free up emotionally from the that weird Eunice or Eunif or whatever the hell his name was that she was dating for a while, get over Scott completely, and he was just waiting to swoop in. Like, I always knew, I was like, they would make a great couple. I think that they should be together. I always said that. And then I also said Travis Barker needs to give up on the Blink 182 unless they can bring Tom back, and just needs to go around doing, like, you know, making music with other artists, doing surprise drum sets at festivals and for other artists. And guess what? He fucking started doing that shit. And now, look at him, having a baby with Courtney Kardashian. I manifested and predicted this entire relationship thus far, and I'm just here for it. I'm going to keep reporting on it. I'm happy that they're happy. Courtney's 44. She's having a baby. This is a super fertile family. You know, I'm excited for them, to be honest. Congrats, Kravis. And now back into despair. So, Russell Simmons, we've been hearing he's been an asshole for a very long time. I mean, I know his brother, Rev Run, is an asshole. We'll get into that another day. I think I might have talked about it before. I don't know, but we're not getting into it right now. This is about Russell Simmons. So Russell Simmons being put on blast by his ex-wife, Kimora Lee Simmons, and his daughters. And they're all saying enough is enough. So People Magazine, I read from their reportings and everything. On Monday, Russell Simmons shared an Instagram story that seemingly was targeted at Kimora Lee. That was saying, quote unquote, stop telling fathers they should have fought harder to see their children and start asking mothers why he had to fight at all, the post read, which is usually what men who are absentee fathers and like abusive men say on Father's Day when they don't, their kids don't want to see them or they're not able to see them legally. Russell Simmons, 48, he shared all this shit about his family tension and, you know, all this shit, you know, whatever. And Kimora Lee fucking was, she had it. She writes on the Instagram, she goes to her Instagram story and she says, I'm so sorry to have to do this, but this man has been threatening my kids' lives. I'm hearing so much more now. We won't be bullied or threatened or afraid.
What I said.
She goes on to say, leave my kids alone. This narrative of attacking the only caregiver, the only parent in the home with the kids, the mom and the kids for one's own shortcomings and embarrassments is dead, dead, dead. The model also accused Russell of being abusive to the women in his life. The same abusive-ish, she wrote. This is how you maneuver with the women all around you. Your threats and lies and intimidation maneuvers and tactics are sad. Stop it, please. Your own flesh and blood, enough is enough. 18 women also in the past have accused Russell Simmons of sexual misconduct. He denies all the accusations. His one daughter, Aoki, who is, she's 20 years old. She just graduated from Harvard, so very smart kid, backed her mom on Instagram, posting a video of Russell appearing to yell at her over FaceTime on her Instagram page. So I saw this video. She muted the audio so you couldn't hear what he was saying. At least the video I saw was muted. It was posted by another account, not her or whatever. And yeah, he looked like he was like attacking her. So she captioned the video, "This is not someone who will accept help. This is just one screen recording. Sorry, I don't always remember to press record when he calls my friends, my boyfriend, anyone to get a chance to threaten and curse and go crazy." She also shared screenshots of text messages between her and her father to her Instagram story, where she said he'd quote unquote harass her boyfriend and friends if she blocked him or took some space. In another post, Aoki texts to him, post-text seemingly from Russell, implying that Aoki's quote-unquote mother has stolen money and the love of my kids as she promised. Aoki defended her mother in the text message, saying, "I'll never speak to you until you die. Don't ever say that again." Damn. In a separate lengthy message for her father, Aoki wrote, "Every time I spoke to you, you would yell and scream about a legal situation that I can't even respond to because I'm not involved. I am your child, not your lawyer, your ex-wife, any of it. I can do nothing. You yell at me like it's my fault." In another Instagram story, Aoki touched on the possibility of mental illness with Russell. She's quoted saying, "Some of us do think he's mentally ill or experiencing something like dementia. He really acts like he hates and does not know his children frequently." Aoki described how Russell used to be the, quote, best dad ever. Prior to his media issues, he was really the best dad ever and a great co-parent. "He and my mom were best friends," she wrote. "We all defended him against everything, and then he suddenly turned on anyone who will let him lash out. It's just a really terrifying change to watch," she wrote. So it's really fucking sad, and it's really sad that he's posting about this on the internet and that, you know, he's getting his kids involved and he's yelling at the kids about the ex-wife like it's his fault. Like, I mean, you know, fuck, man. It just seems like the whole Simmons family is kind of tainted at this point. Like, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't really hear good things about them. And I've experienced not so nice, like, things with Rev Run, too. Like, I mean, you know, he's just not a personable person. You know, he's just not friendly. You know, I mean, I was genuinely shocked. I really held this man to a high standard. I really enjoyed watching him fucking write his Sunday sermons on his little BlackBerry in his bathtub. And, you know, I really took his wise words to heart and really looked forward to them. And then after that day forward, I was like, fucking done with this man. So I send my love to Kimora Lee Simmons, and I send my love to the daughters as well, because, you know, that's really hard. It's got to be hard watching your dad make a drastic fucking change like that. I know it's hard, you know, so I hope that they can heal. I hope that they come to some kind of resolution. I hope Russell Simmons stops doing this to his daughters and wisens up and, you know, is a good dad and does what he's supposed to do at the end of the day. So I don't know. We'll just have to see where it goes, what happens. You know, I'll keep watching this story as well. I mean, I don't know if it's going to go much further than just social media posting and ranting or whatever, because, you know, these kids that he has with Kimora Lee are 23 and 20. I mean, they're adults. There's no, you know, custody battles anymore. There's no like, oh, you got to go see dad this weekend. I mean, it's completely up to them, whatever happens. So I hope it gets worked out, and I hope, you know, they heal. Well, that's a wrap on that for this episode of the BumbaCast Pop Cultured News. I hope you had as much fun as I did keeping you as updated and as pop cultured as I physically can. God. Oh, God. You know I do it all for you and the love and support you keep on giving me.
You love me. You really love me.
Keep on spreading the good word. Make sure you turn those automatic downloads on so you don't miss an episode. And if you're not following me on social media, what's your fucking damage? That's at Bumba_cast for both Twitter and Instagram. My personal page is also linked on my Instagram at hey_moon with 3 O's. So feel free to follow me there if you want. I never turn down a fan. And don't forget to keep an eye out for Hollywood True Crimes coming August of this year, followed by Bumbaween, full of all the serial killer, paranormal, weird, spooky shit that you can imagine for October. exclusively for you. So, until next time, I'll see you soon, my little bumblebees.